I would just like to offer to you, each and every one of you here that are mothers or mother figures, grandmothers, my sincere wishes for a blessed and happy Mother's Day. I pray that this will be a wonderful day for you, that you will be honored for the sacrifices that you have made, that you will be blessed for the giving that you have done, that your children will recognize this, if they don't yet, that they will one day, and that you will know of our support and our love here for each and every one of you at First Baptist Church. And as a reminder, there are some small tokens of our appreciation and love for you that are located on the table at the back of the sanctuary. You may pick one up and take it with you at the conclusion of today's service. Our scripture lesson is found in Acts chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verses 9 through 11. And if you have your pew Bibles, you can follow along there, or a Bible phone app, or if you'd like to follow along up on the screen. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. "And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" May God add blessing and understanding to both the reading and hearing of his word. Again, I also want to welcome all of you that are here today, especially mothers, but our visitors, guests that are with us today, special welcome to you and your families. We're glad that you have chosen to worship with us here today. If you have been with us in the past several weeks, you know that we have been speaking about the resurrection continually since Easter Sunday, and the various appearances that Jesus made after his resurrection. Today, we've come to a point where it is time for Jesus to ascend to heaven. And if you look on your calendars later this week on Thursday, you'll see a day there called Ascension Day. That's what I'm going to speak about this morning. But before I get there, I want to just say another word about the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is a revealed fact. It's something that doesn't need any human action for its proof. However, at the same time, if the resurrection is to be good news, then we must back that up. We must confirm it through human agents. These people of the New Testament times, these followers of Christ who took up the Great Commission and followed Jesus from the very beginning, and then once he ascended to heaven, they continued to follow him. And so as they followed him and as he ascended to heaven, they continued this Great Commission. Jesus' ascension into heaven is good news. It goes along with the resurrection because it finishes it, if you will. It gives it that completeness that we all desire. The understanding that his work here on earth has now concluded, not just with the resurrection, not with the fact that he was raised to life by God's almighty power, and that he appeared to several people, but then that he was restored to his full glory in heaven, that he was seated next to God's right hand, a symbol of power and might, that he assumed that space there in heaven. And it was a final evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what Mark wrote about in his account of this gospel of Scripture. And then there's this continuing interaction with Jesus and his disciples. Even though he was ascended, he was also continuing to do his work. And if you look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 20, it says there that he continued working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And it says that the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. I love that part of the scripture, that the disciples went out. It confirms that they followed the Great Commission. It confirms that they did what Jesus said, to go into all the world and preach the good news make disciples, baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. And this confirms that they went out and they preached everywhere. The Apostle Paul outlines this relationship about the resurrection and the apostles' preaching when he says, and this is a familiar passage, he says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain." In other words, if Christ isn't risen, what are we doing? We're wasting our time. We're doing everything that we're doing is in vain. And then he adds to it, he said, "And our faith is in vain." So the very faith, the foundation of what we believe, without the resurrection, it is in vain. And dare we say that also without the ascension, then, that brings that all to a conclusion of the earthly ministry here on Jesus, of Jesus Christ. It's confirmed through the ongoing evidence. As just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead on that day that we celebrate as Easter, it was confirmed through those post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ to his disciples and many, many others, hundreds and thousands. But there is no greater testimony than we continue to share from generation to generation to generation the good news of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says, "And they gave great power and great witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all." So this is what we're talking about here the last couple of weeks and continuing to speak about today. Great power through the resurrection, great power and grace, and the continuing witness of Jesus Christ and the continued signs that he gave them. And we'll get into that more as we get back into the book of Acts later on. Mark's gospel account of this story that I read to you earlier, that is the ascension of Christ, very clearly lets us know that he is talking about the beginning of the ministry of Christ. Some of you may know, who have gotten into the scriptures a little bit more than some others, that Mark's gospel has kind of a controversial ending. Some people feel that the last part of the manuscript was lost, and so it abruptly ends with verse 8. But Mark's gospel continues on, and in verses 19 and 20, it speaks of the ascension of Jesus Christ and reminds us that it is not the end of the gospel. It doesn't end with fear and trembling in the resurrection, but it continues on, and that's what we're looking at today. And so the book of Acts is where we're at now, a preparation for the power of Pentecost, which is coming in a couple of weeks, the 50 days after the resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. But until we get to that point, let's consider what the ascension means. And let's take a look at it from at least two perspectives this morning. The first one that we're going to look at is Jesus' perspective. What happened to Jesus because of the resurrection? The second thing that we're going to look at is we're going to look at what happened to the disciples because of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And how did they react to it? And then we'll put it all together in understanding as to what it means to us today as Christ followers. So the first event that we're going to look at is what happened to Jesus. Both of these vantage points give us the understanding that Jesus was descending, that they were related to the descending of the divine to the human so that the human could ascend. In order for us to be able to ascend to Jesus, Jesus had to come down, right? He came down at Christmas. That was God incarnate, God with us, God in human form. But in order for us to be able to ascend, Jesus also had to ascend back up into heaven to gain that rightful place. Christ became what we are, as the early church understood, to make us what he is. So in order for us to really truly be like Christ, he had to not only live here on earth for a while, minister to us, die for us, be resurrected for us, but also ascended for us so that he could take his rightful place in heaven. There would be a small band of people then that would later receive the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, these followers of Christ. And Jesus was talking to them, and just prior to this morning's scripture text, he's given to them a really a great commission from the book of Acts perspective. And he says, you will be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. He's telling them this, that they are going to be his witnesses, this small band of followers, and that as they live, they will be a new creation, a new group of followers that will continue on. His return, then, will come later. It says in the end of this passage that he will return. He will return into heaven, and he will then also return from heaven one day. And in order for us to understand that, I want to read just a brief passage of Scripture from Matthew's Gospel. And it says, at that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So the same way that Jesus ascended into heaven, he will descend back to earth again when he comes to gather us all up and take us up to heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are left behind will all be taken up together. We will ascend up to heaven along with Jesus when he returns. So this is what it meant for Jesus. His work here on earth was done. He is now reigning in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. He has assumed the power of his position as Christ, the Messiah, the one who came to live and breathe among us and who went back to heaven. He had to leave, though. He had to leave. And even though it was a sad occasion, perhaps, for his disciples, he had to do it in order that he could return one day. So then that leads us to what happens to the followers of Jesus Christ. What happens to his disciples, and ultimately, what happens to us because of this? We can never disassociate, and the disciples could never disassociate with what was going on in their lives, what they had learned from Jesus, what they had witnessed, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, all of the things that Jesus had taught him, the fact that he was their friend, that he was their companion, that he was crucified and that he was risen again. They could never disassociate from that. Just as we can never disassociate from the fact that the Gospels lead us, and our understanding is what we have learned through Sunday school and vacation Bible school and what our grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads have taught us about Jesus and how we've grown up into the faith of Jesus Christ, we can never disassociate those things. For instance, in times of our failure, we might hear the gentle touch of Jesus, and he'll say these words to you as he said in the Bible, neither do I condemn you, go in peace to the woman at the well. In sickness, we may hear the words of Jesus who tells us to rise up and walk as he did to the lepers. And in times of doubt, like he said to Thomas, he'd be willing to do anything, to show us anything in order that we would see and believe. And in times of our doubt, when we're filled with self-incrimination, like Peter, he's there to forgive us in our times of denial. When we say, Lord, you don't exist, or you're not really there, or Satan enters in and says, Jesus doesn't really care about you. It's not true. But in those times, he will come to us, and he'll give us a new self-esteem. He'll remind us of our call to be the church, that we are existed so that we can feed the lost sheep, so that we can reach out to those that are in need. He will appear to us on our own Emmaus road, and he'll remind us of the word that is inside of us, that is banked, the fires that are there, and he will set that blaze anew and afresh in our hearts and our minds once again. But just as our visualization of Christ ministered, how he ministered is rooted in the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, it is glorified, it is magnified in the ascended Jesus Christ. When he goes up to heaven, there he will dwell forever. He will be ever present. He will be an enabling power. Well, Maybe this all sounds a little bit foreign to you and a little bit difficult to understand. That's okay. So I want to try to unpack this a little bit now to help you understand what this means to you, what this means to me, all of us here today in our world. The same things that the disciples struggled with, so do we. It was hard for them to see Jesus go. It was difficult for them in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying for them to stay awake with him. It was hard for them to understand that he had to leave, that he had to die. It was difficult for them. It's difficult for us. But what it does when Jesus withdraws from us, when he ascends to heaven, it helps us move to that next level, that next stage, that next understanding of who Christ is and why he came in the first place. It doesn't mean that he's literally left us, because he promises in his word that he will never leave or forsake us. That means that he will always, always be there for us. He's never leaving us, but his physical body, in its time that it was here on earth, left to go back to heaven, to glory where it rightly belonged. But it brings closure, doesn't it? It brings closure to our understanding of who Jesus is on this earth. And it leaves a mystery of who he is in heaven and how it will all play out one day when he returns. It may seem that we've lost him. It may seem like that to the disciples, that they had lost him, and that they were still staring up. And there's times when Jesus was transfigured and the three were on the mountain with him and they were staring up. And isn't this great? Let's make a tent here and just hang out. No, you have to come down off of that mountain. You have to come down to reality. That's what we're talking about here today. This visualization of Jesus and how he ministered here on earth was multiplied because he ascended. And the Jesus that was master and friend to the disciples, the same Jesus that is our Savior and Lord, is the same Jesus who is calling us to a higher level, is calling us to be in a deeper relationship with him. Not something that is just bound here to earth, but something that is far greater, a greater understanding of who he is and who we can become in him. And he brings closure to us in that area of our life. It seems that in times of transitions, our hearts are broken. Maybe you've been through transitions lately, whether it's a job or transitioning back into society or transitioning in a difficult relationship or transitioning in a difficult financial situation. God is with you during those times. And it seems that in those kinds of circumstances that our hearts are breaking. But I want to remind you today that our hearts are not made of glass. Our hearts are more like clay in the potter's hand. And Jesus is the potter. And he's the one that can mold and shape us and make us like him in every way possible, as long as we're willing to be pliable and as we are available to him here on this earth. He is the magnificent designer. It'd be sad, wouldn't it, if we were all just sitting around in a room or up on a mountain somewhere or out just looking up at the sky thinking, well, isn't this a great day? Isn't this wonderful? Won't it be great when Jesus comes back? There are religions that do that. Then there are other religions that hide themselves and say, you know, it's just a terrible place out there in the world, and we're just going to wait till Jesus comes back. And then there are those of us here who realize that, yes, the world is a difficult place. Yes, it would be great if Jesus came back today. But in the midst of that, we can't just sit around. We can't just be a social club or a bunch of good do-gooders. We need to be the church of Jesus Christ, going out and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is affirmed through the ascension of Christ. Well, what to make of these two men in white apparel? I always love it when angels show up. They always show up just when they're needed. The disciples needed these angels. It says that these two men in white, which right away tells you who they are, right? They're from heaven. They're angels. They're messengers of God. We don't need to get into all of who angels are and all of that today. I want to go deeper than that. What these messengers of heaven provided to the disciples was this. They needed comfort. Their Savior, who they had been around for an extra 40 days after he was resurrected, has now ascended to heaven. His presence, whether physical for the 30 years he was here or the 3 years he was with the disciples in ministry, or just these matter of a few weeks before he ascended, is now over. And a new chapter has begun. And that is why they need comfort. They need help in understanding the grief that they're feeling, the troubles that they're experiencing, because they feel that Jesus has left them. And so, these angels, these messengers from heaven, come to them and they say, "Men of Galilee," remember Judas is no longer around, so all the rest of the people are Galileans. And he says to them, "All of you men of Galilee, why is it that you stand here looking up to the sky?" In other words, what are you doing? Why are you looking up to the sky? Why are you just hanging out here looking for Jesus to come back? Because he told them that he would, and so it seems fair that they would be looking. Why are you doing this? They said to him, "The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The same Jesus. So, we have looked at these different appearances of Christ in Scripture these past few weeks, and we've seen Jesus right before the crucifixion, his weak physical body. We've seen Jesus buried in a tomb. We've seen Jesus resurrected into a spiritual form. And in that spiritual form, we have seen Jesus with a body who had flesh and bones, who was able to consume fish with his disciples a couple of times. I like this. I like this understanding of just what I believe and who I believe Jesus to be in this person, the same Jesus that we know, the same Jesus that we've heard about through his birth, through his resurrection. All of those things, that same Jesus will return in the same way that he ascended. He'll come in the clouds. He'll come back in the clouds the same way. This word, the manner, in the same manner, in the same way, is an important word. It means that he'll come back in the same fashion, so the same way that he left. He'll come back in the same character. So it'll be the same Jesus that he was before. And he'll come back in the same way of life that he was here when he was on earth the first time. That's what that means. For me, I understand this to believe that Jesus will return unexpectedly. Just as he ascended, he will return unexpectedly. He will return surprisingly. And he will return not on his own decision, not on the decision of any angels or anyone in heaven other than God the Father. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, you'll see this, that it says, "The angels in heaven nor the Son of Man do not know the day or the moment or the hour, but only God the Father knows." So God the Father will know, but that day will come when Jesus will return in the same fashion, the same character. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "It is not you to know when he will come back and restore the kingdom." It's not for you to know. These disciples were asking about the kingdom of Israel still after the resurrection and all that happened. They were still looking for that political move of Jesus to restore the kingdom in that way. But he's saying, "No, I'm coming back because I want to restore the kingdom of God. Restore the kingdom of heaven." And he said, "It's not for you to know the times, the dates. The Father sets this by his own authority." And then he tells them that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And that is on the day of Pentecost, found in Acts chapter 2. And that, as we shall all see, was more than the disciples dared to imagine as they stood there watching Jesus ascend. Jesus' ascension remains a great mystery. as much as I can stand here and talk to you about it today, just as much as I can about the virgin birth and who God is, I have to admit that it's still a mystery. There's still a lot we don't understand, but we accept by faith. There's a theologian who wrote some descriptive words that I think will help to add to our understanding, and it's much like something that I had said previously. He said, he was received up. That is, into a higher level of life. The life that is higher than the merely material and manifest and localized and limited. You know, we talk about up and down. The man upstairs. You don't want to go down there. You know, these kinds of things. There are really no ups and downs in the universe. But this dramatic physical leave-taking that Jesus did, both at his resurrection and his ascension, and he is still now today seated at the right hand of God. And in the meantime, we are the church. In the meantime, we are, like Luke's gospel says about this account in chapter 24, continually in the temple, continually in the church, praising and blessing God. May we too, like those early church fathers and mothers, come to an understanding that we must continue to work, that we must continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. May we come to an understanding that it is our responsibility in this generation to build the church of Jesus Christ in order that future generations may also be able to experience God's great blessings. Amen.